Lord, through your word, reveal to us what we could not otherwise know, the mystery of the gospel. Amen. In our house growing up, we didn't have cable TV. And that meant that our cartoon consumption was severely limited. As kids, right, this was a big concern, right? We only really got the cartoons that showed up on PBS, and then whichever channel it was that showed WB Kids on Saturday mornings, we ate it up. We got as much as we possibly could, but it was really special when we got to go to Grandma and Grandpa's house because they had cable. And that meant the world of Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon opened wide to us. And yeah, that probably wasn't what we were supposed to be doing when we went to Grandma and Grandpa's house, but it was what we got excited about. One of the shows that got our attention when we went to Grandma and Grandpa's house was Scooby-Doo. And I know, kids, you don't understand because you can just stream it wherever you want, but back in the day when I was a kid, it was special to be able to watch Scooby-Doo. And what kid doesn't love Scooby-Doo, right? If you're familiar with the show, you understand. In each episode, the Mystery Machine gang stumbles upon some creepy situation. It seems like there's something supernatural going on. And through the course of the episode, they gather clues, and they're usually chased around by some monster or ghost or whatever through, I don't know, a castle or a mansion or a garden or whatever it is, some lab or something. It seems like this is some supernatural thing, but then at the very end, there's always the scene where the monster is tied up in front of them and they say, aha! They rip off the mask. It was so-and-so, whoever it was, all along, mystery solved. And of course, I would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for you pesky kids, right? Mystery solved at the end of every episode. Today we have something a little bit different. In Scooby-Doo, it's always the case that there is something that seems supernatural and otherworldly that is revealed to be something normal. Just some disgruntled employee or someone with something to gain. Today we see something, God places something before us that seems so ordinary, so mundane. The family. All of us have a family, right? Whether you are a husband or a wife, a parent or a child, you have a family. Your relation to them may have changed throughout the years. But everybody has a family. It's an ordinary thing. And yet today, God, in a way, pulls back the mask and shows that in reality, beneath the surface, this ordinary thing is filled with profound, divine, eternally significant meaning. He reveals that this family is, in fact, mysterious. That word mystery is one that Paul uses many times in his letters. And whenever he does, he is using it to refer to the fact that something, whatever he's talking about in that moment, is something we could not know unless God revealed it to us. It's hidden from human perception. But in so many ways, God has made these amazing truths, these world-changing, life-changing, eternal, eternity-shaking, shaping, changing truths known to us. And so Paul talks about the mystery of Christ and the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the resurrection, the mystery that God is bringing together all different branches of humanity in one new people of God. All these things. Amazing gospel truths that are revealed from God to us because of his great and undeserved love to us. Today God reveals in the family, another one of those great and undeserved gospel truths for us. I heard a seminary professor of mine explain it this way. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and he wanted everyone to know about it so that they might believe in him and not perish but have eternal life. And so he inspired apostles and prophets to record the good news of his salvation through Jesus so that his people could take it out into the world. But God also knew that not everyone would read the Bible. And so he built into common human experience a model, an image of his great love for humanity and his relationship with his redeemed people. He built it into marriage and the family. And he's given to each member of the family a God-appointed role through which he intends that family to beam forth into the world with God's light and love. And as each family member carries out their God-appointed role, someone who has never opened the Bible will see in them the effect and the power of the gospel at work. That is a profound significance and privilege that God gives to husbands and wives, to parents and children. That is a profound and mysterious meaning that God gives to our families. And so here in this section of Ephesians that we just read, Paul starts to expand on and expound the roles by which God has called us to make known the mystery of the gospel through our family lives. First, he speaks to wives. He says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord." Now, notice Paul never tells husbands to make their wives submit. Right? He never does that. This is not a coercive thing. This is a willing act of faith and love that God calls wives to do. To submit themselves to their own husbands, to put themselves in a supporting role, and to allow and encourage their husband's leadership in the family. Now, ladies, I have to warn you, this calling from God is not something that your culture is going to encourage you in. In fact, it is going to scream with all of its might that this is the last thing you should do, that this is something that will set women back decades and will result in you giving up your very personhood and self-worth. But they are wrong. No, in fact, here, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, addresses you, ladies, first among all the members of the household as an equally important and equally valuable, equally responsible member of God's family who has an important role to play in the family's gospel drama, in the way that the family displays God's love in the world. God has given you the role of showing the amazing and transformative effect that God's love has in the hearts and lives of his people. Think about this. When we understand that we are so totally loved by the creator of the universe that he would give himself, his own life, so that we could have an eternal good that we could never achieve for ourselves, that changes us. It moves us to look to Jesus and say, Jesus, if that's what you do, then lead me. I want to put myself behind and under and to support and encourage and do whatever I can so that Jesus' mission is carried out, because he has proven that his mission is to bring me to eternal life. I seek his leadership. I seek his guidance. I want him to take the lead in my life. And wives, that's what God calls you to show that Jesus does in the lives of Christians by the way that you submit to your husband. God has called you to display just how powerful the gospel is by adopting your husband's mission for your family, by supporting him, encouraging him to be the best leader of your family that he can be. Now, does that mean unquestioning obedience in everything? Of course, it does not. It means that you build him up and correct him where he needs correcting. This means that you are one who helps to keep him on the track and keep his priorities where they should be as God has assigned them, but to do so in such a way that builds him up, that enables him to fulfill his God-given role so that your family beams forth with the light and love of Christ for his people. Husbands, then Paul writes for you. He says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Guys, I hope you understand something here. I hope you understand what an incredible honor and privilege this is. See, God has given you the role of Jesus in your family gospel drama. That doesn't mean he's made you your family's savior, because only Jesus can do that, and only Jesus has done that. But it does mean that he has called you to be the instrument that Jesus uses to fill up your family with love. And not just any love, but the love of Christ. Paul writes, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Husbands, God has given you the role of head of household, leader of your family, but to lead in the way that Jesus leads his people. How did Jesus use his role as head of the church? He gave all of himself in life and in death so that you and I and all of his people could be the holy, blameless, perfect people that God held in his mind's eye when he created us, when he envisioned us before time began. Jesus' love is a self-sacrificing, self-giving love that always has the good of his people in mind. And husbands, that is what God has called you to have as well. He has called you to lead your family, not with your own interests, your own personal interests in mind, but rather always with the interests of those that he has entrusted and gifted to you as your primary concern. He has called you to give of yourself in living or, if necessary, in dying, to ensure the care and the flourishing of your family. And that starts with the way that you love your wife. That means that the second most important thing that God has given you to do in this life, behind honoring and loving him above all, is to care for and nourish and pursue and work for the flourishing of your bride. And when that happens, the light and love of Christ, who always seeks the good of his bride, the church, shines forth in your family to the world. And your children benefit as well. Next, Paul writes for children. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now, kids, depending on your age, you might be rolling your eyes right now. I know you think your parents don't understand you, that maybe they don't know what's best for you. Maybe they don't even really deserve your obedience. Maybe you're planning to shake this one off and ignore it. Don't. Because in this calling from God, you have something that is so precious to a believer in Jesus that we couldn't ask for anything better. We have here a no-doubt, God-verified, good work that pleases him. Just look, it's in the fourth commandment, right? Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. See, in God's sight, there is nothing better you could do, nothing more pleasing to him than to honor and respect your parents. And within the family, as you do this, you will be a model of the gospel. You'll display the honor and love that God inspires in us by his great love and provision. And finally, Paul addresses parents. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. See, before any of you were parents, God was our Father. He always deals with us with our eternal good in mind. He provides what we need. He guides and corrects us. He disciplines us in order to lead us on toward maturity. And within the family, God calls parents, and especially fathers, to show his character in the way that we raise our children. That means that his fatherhood is not just implicit in our parenting style, but rather that we embrace the privilege and responsibility It doesn't just mean that his fatherhood is implicit in our parenting style, but rather that we embrace the privilege and responsibility of nourishing the faith of our children, of taking the children that he has entrusted to us and placing them back in their heavenly Father's arms. Parents, take the lead in teaching and modeling the Christian faith to your kids. Don't outsource this important job, this important responsibility to anyone else, not even to me. Don't outsource it. I can help you, but I can't replace you. Parents are the people with the most influence over their kids' faith. So bring your kids to church and teach them why this is important, why this is beautiful, what God is doing for us here through the gospel. Lead your family in devotions. Lead them in prayer. Model a Christian life and teach them how to follow Jesus, even when it's hard. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord, so that they enjoy long life, not only on this earth, but also in eternity. And when you do, the love of God the Father will shine so brightly through you that no one will be able to miss it. Friends, I hope that you don't look at your marriage and your family as something mundane. God has pulled off the mask in His Word, and He has revealed something wonderful, something profound, something mysterious. You have been called to display the wonderful truths of the gospel in your life and in your vocations as husband and wife, as parent and child. Now, none of us does this perfectly, right? We fight a sinful nature every single day. Wives fight a sinful nature that insists that they'd be better heads of household than their husbands. Husbands fight a sinful nature that sees authority as something to be used for his own advantage, or a sinful nature that neglects the first and foremost spiritual leadership of their household. Children fight a sinful nature that finds joy in rebellion and in disrespect towards their parents. And parents fight a sinful nature that provokes their children or neglects them by treating them either harshly or permissively. As the sinful nature in all of us seeks to obscure the beauty that God intends for our family life. And yet, Jesus looks at you. What does He see? Radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, all because He loved you and gave Himself up for you. He has cleansed you by the washing with water through the Word in baptism. He feeds and cares for you as His own body by giving you His body and His blood in the sacrament of the altar. He unites Himself to you. He makes His life yours. He has entered into a one flesh union that makes you holy by faith. He has married Himself to you. And now He puts His power to work within you. That is the power that causes you and your family to shine with the light of Christ. Christ for you. Christ in you. And Christ through you to the world. This is a profound mystery. Amen.